Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm an action figure of Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm the real-life Jennifer Landa.
but is a plush Build-A-Bear version available?
Yes. I love that. That's funny.
Complete with your Death Star dress that you made.
Right. Complete with accessories.
Go to your local mall and pick up your Force Center Build-A-Bears today. We got some Star Wars news coming your way. Breaking news from a long time ago, including some breaking news at the time of our recording. A fun little tidbit we're going to get to. And we got some figure news, visions, and a whole lot more. Before we do that, I want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, includes Android. I ran into someone this week at a comedy show who was going off in the green room, not on stage, about iPhone privilege. And I heard them out. I was like, you know what? You're not wrong. I just assume everyone has an iPhone. That's wrong of me. So Audible's got you covered. We're going to a little bit later have our Force Center recommend an audiobook we think you should try out on us. But before that, we catch up with Star Wars and life adventures. Jen, we turn to you. to start the round robin discussion about our Star Wars lives.
Nothing too exciting this week. The usual playing with the toys with my kids. They wanted to watch the Ewoks intro, the 1980s cartoon, because I was doing some research. They watched that, I think, close to 10 times. Again, just the intro. And it's the, what season was it? I think it was the first season intro. So it was Ewoks. Oh, I had that in my head for the entire day. Read that. And then that was pretty much it besides Pedro Pascal, who was on SNL. That was my Star Wars adventure. He was freaking hilarious. There were so many great sketches that just, I was crying with laughter. I mean, he nailed it. Just loved it.
That's beautiful. Saw some clips. I'm an SNL, not just fan, but I'm one of those like annoying SNL historians. I'm like, well, yes, Tim Kaczynski joined in 82. I haven't watched the show in about 4 or 5 years. And I watched some clips and I had the feeling of, who are these youngsters on screen with Pedro? Got to adjust my thinking. Though my old pal Mikey Day is still there. Good stuff. Good stuff. I'm going to be singing your version of the Ewok song the rest of my days.
It's incredibly accurate. When I was at Disneyland with my in-laws recently, they were talking about It's a Small World being an earworm. So I was trying to think ahead of time of what other songs are more powerful earworms that I could think about immediately afterwards. And I should have thought of the Ewok song, because I think it might be the most powerful earworm I've ever encountered.
Yeah. And I tried to ask my 7-year-old, I was like, why do you like this so much? What is it about this song? And she goes, I don't know. And I realized, I think it's the E. It's just such a simple.
Yes.
Like, it's like, you know, like an alphabet song. It's just so simple. And they both, to this day, several days later, they're now still singing that song. And now I'm going to have it in my head and in your heads too. I apologize.
It's like permission to scream in song form, right?
Exactly.
It's John Popper of the Blues Traveler of one sing. The hook brings you back. That's great. I think I want a punk band, like a modern punk band, to do a cover of that Ewok song.
We're just good. One big happy family with distortion.
I want to get to your adventures, Joseph. I'll start with mine because they're pretty simple. I've been working on a lot of great things we're working on around here, by the way. We'll talk about that in a second. I'm working on what I think is going to be like my final freelance project of the year. It's only February. That's not good for the year. But anyways, I'm working on this project. So I had to really start my Mando rewatch. And I've always loved The Mandalorian. I loved it. And I love Grogu. I love the show. No doubt about that. But in the back of my head, I'm always like, I don't know. I don't really rewatch this show as much. I haven't seen much of season 2 since it aired. And I just have this weird kind of almost like a lackadaisical attitude towards it. So I started the rewatch and that song hit. And I was like, oh, I can't wait for season 3. I got so excited. Even some episodes that, as it happens, you might struggle with an episode the first couple times you see it. And you see it even years later. You're like, Toro Calican, you're just a scub and nerf herder. Okay, we'll get through with you. And I just had so much fun. It's just been fun. I cannot wait for this world to come back. And I know fun is one of the key words around it. But also, I think it's going to be bigger and better. And that was part of the My Star Wars adventure for the week. Just a reminder of all parts of the galaxy you can find yourself crawling into and feeling nice and warm and fuzzy about it.
Oh, that's a great one. I'm very excited for Mandalorian. I think it's just so much of the different flavors of Star Wars that that come together. And as you were talking about it, my mind was trying to make the word Mandalorian match to the Ewoks theme, and it only went okay.
E-E-E-N, fat.
Mandalorian? Nah, it doesn't quite work.
It was just fun. Him walking into that first scene in the bar to get the mithril and just, I'll bring you warm, bring you cold, and the music hits. And it was just like, oh, God, here we go.
So good.
Excited for that there. That was it. That was a fun adventure, Star Wars fan adventure all weekend long. Being locked in the world of Mando. I did get a gift I've got to hand deliver to Joseph, who's featured in a YouTube short, which we'll have more about that as we have an ask coming. They have the 20th anniversary of Attack of the Clones cover variants. And I picked up Kenobi hanging from that droid. So Joseph, I showed it to you already, but I got to get it to you. I got to get it to you. You got to frame this and put it on a wall.
No, thank you for picking it up for me. I'm very excited about it. And your video was great and got a great reaction. You were clearly tapping into a shared vein of emotion about Attack of the Clones and about that image.
Thank you, sir. We'll have a little bit more on YouTube here in a second, but I do want to hear your Star Wars adventures.
Yeah, my adventures were almost all action figures and videos and different ways that they might combine. For the video side of things, for myself personally, I spent a chunk of the week getting one of my short films ready to put on YouTube. This is the one that I shot and recorded myself, and then it was played at the HP Lovecraft Film Festival in October of last year. And it's a weird one. So instead of sending it out to a bunch of other festivals, I'm just putting it online and failing anything weird happening. It should be online as you are listening to this episode, regular listeners. No, we generally record on Monday and then release these on Tuesday. So in theory, this new short film, Unboxing the Cosmos, should be ready for viewing on YouTube. And of course, if you are interested, please go check it out. This one is a little different. It's definitely got some comedy in it. But it's a little bit of a darker comedy, and it is a little bit of cosmic horror. So, you know, content warning for existential dread. Yeah. I would absolutely love listeners to check it out. But it is up to a point, a little bit of a different side of my artistic and creative interest. So please do check that out. Then my other Star Wars adventure is that I opened an action figure. It's always a big deal for me when I open an action figure. I had two of the Retro Vader, and I picked him up a while ago going, I just love this figure. For some reason, I want this one out of the package. And then I realized it would be a great way to celebrate Retro Vader being featured in the new YouTube show that we all released this week. So I opened Retro Vader and had a martini and celebrated the successful release of our new show, Figure Fights. That was kind of my adventure for the week.
That's a great adventure. Saw the photo there. And yes, that's one thing we want to discuss before we get to the news. We always have our Ask segment, and lately it's been about promoting the YouTube channel, but now Joseph, we want to specifically promote this show, this series we've launched, and all the things we got going over there.
That is right. We had a great release of this first episode of Figure Fights. If you haven't watched it, if you don't know what we're talking about, the concept is instead of Star Wars characters fighting, we pit specific action figures of Star Wars characters in a fight. Our first episode is good old ripped buff Luke from the Power of the Force 2 back in 1995 versus this ironically new Darth Vader that I just opened, the retro Darth Vader, the Dark Times from the Obi-Wan Kenobi show. So like I said, really great, really positive reception to it. We really want to grow YouTube, and what we need now is some help taking our first step into the larger algorithm. We had a great and positive response from the listeners and fans that we have on YouTube. But what we really need to grow is to get it past our current audience. So we're kind of asking for support for Figure Fights in general, which will help us on YouTube. So specific asks, we would love to get to 1,500 views on episode one of Figure Fights in the next week. That's ask A. And ask B is if you're at all willing to share it on social media in whatever way you want to. I think that would help us a ton. Honestly, one of the reasons that we're doing this Figure Fights show is it's very us. We love doing it. We also think it's something that can be kind of an ambassador for the way we look at Star Wars, the fun we want to have with it, and help us reach a larger audience on YouTube. So I'm just thrilled that we had such a great reception from the people who already know us and like what we do. And I think that next step is, can Figure Fights be used to help us meet new people on YouTube? So that's our big goal.
Nah, it's a great ask. And as we've been saying, not just Figure Fights, essays are coming. You'll be seeing more shorts, but some statue reviews, thanks to Gentle Giant, those kind of things. But Figure Fights is something we're really excited about. Joseph's got a great concept, and he's pulled some wonderful matchups for the next few episodes that we have to keep secret. Jen doesn't know. And it's fun. But beyond just fun, this is where we're head of the podcast still remains. The podcast will be the heart and soul, the bread and butter, the meat and potatoes, all the food analogies you can think of. But yeah, the business, the economy of podcast world is always shifting, always changing. And we just felt it was the right time to get our faces out there. Literally.
Yeah.
So yeah, well said. And we're looking at all of you to, if you're willing, help us get some places.
Yeah. And then the final thought on that is, like Ken said, we got an essay coming this week, basically Thursdays, that we're going to have a new thing on YouTube. So right now we're going to be alternating between an essay and a new episode of Figure Fight. So look for a fun essay coming this week. And then the second episode of Figure Fights will be out on Thursday, February 16th.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. So thanks again for everyone. It was a lot of fun. We did the live premiere. And we hung out with a lot of people in chat that morning. It was good. A cup of coffee, some Star Wars figures, and some friends. That was a good start to the day. Mm-hmm. Let's get to some Star Wars news. Like I said up top, there's a little tidbits emerging here. People in writers' rooms, all those kind of things. We'll discuss those as the shows move closer. Information gets more concrete. But one story that was teased yesterday by E.K. Johnston did happen as we were sitting down to record today. And that is that she, about for us Monday morning, about an hour ago, says on Twitter, I get to write another Star Wars book, or I got to write a Star Wars book because it's complete. And this time we're going Crimson. And then she shared a wonderful piece of cover art for the book Star Wars Crimson Climb. This, of course, will be based around Kira. And you got this great, great piece of art on the cover. It's Kira in the solo Star Wars jacket, Star Wars story jacket. She's got Han's dice, but man, she looks like she's been through some stuff and she's going to go some places. I love this cover. I love this idea. We don't know anything else about it, but we're here for our quick reactions. Jen, your thoughts on this book coming down the pipeline?
I'm going to go Charlie Day with my crazy yarn in the background, because I'm thinking of timing, and I'm thinking of, well, we recently saw Donald Glover. I think it was at the Emmys or Golden Globes. No, it was at the Golden Globes. And he looked like Lando, like outfit, mustache, all of it. And the speculation, oh my gosh, is it, what's going on? Is he trying to send us a clue? I think he's trying to send us a clue. And then we have that. So we have that. Now we have this book. Could we see? I don't know. Like, what are they trying to tell us? I mean, it could just be random. It could just be that they, you know, they're like, hey, let's write a story on Kira. I wonder if this is a tease. I wonder if this is going to lead up to something, maybe Disney Plus. I mean, why not? We have Emilia Clarke. Could we do something with her? Bring her back. I don't think Solo 2 is going to happen. But, you know, Alden Ehrenreich recently has been saying he's open to reprising his roles. Something's going on. Something's going on in the Lucasfilm water. That's what I'm saying.
I like the Charlie Day theories. I like some Charlie work. This is spectacular. I have some thoughts out of a Joseph. I want to get your thoughts on this book, this cover, and then we'll hear your theories.
Oh, I love this idea of that we're being sent a message between this human's mustache and this book cover reveal. There are clues and like
it's all connected.
Yep, some great Benoît Blanc from the Knives Out series. Like, ooh, he's sensing something. I hope that's true. I want that to be true. My only reservation about this amazing book, which I'm already thrilled about, is that I do still want to see Emilia Clarke in live action. Mm-hmm. There's so much story to be told, but the kind of ultimate showdown between her and Maul, and how that connects with Maul's story and how he ends up on Malachor. I would really love for that to be in on screen, live action first choice. Next would be animated movie special, at least an audio drama so we could hear them. But that, all that said, I really hope that happens. But I'm just excited for the book because Kira is an amazing character. I feel like we've had lots of chats lately about the sort of the people who you can really empathize with, why they're making choices that you maybe don't entirely agree with their violent choices, but you can really understand the situation that they found themselves in, that they're trying to figure out the way forward. Kira is such a fascinating character you can empathize with. So I love Kira. E.K. Johnston's Padme books are among my favorites. And I'm really excited by here's now where I'll, you know, try to be a clue analyzer. The fact that the cover is her her great jacket from Solo, her Get Things Done jacket, her cover up the Crimson Dawn insignia and Get Things Done jacket, and that she still has the dice makes me really interested to see that this is her story of her climb basically in between the time periods that we see her in Solo. Now, E.K. Johnston's Padme books have done a great job of kind of jumping around in time a little bit and jumping around in focus. So maybe that's the main focus, but it could still hop around in the timeline. And I know some of those kind of beats of this era were covered in Ray Carson's Most Wanted, but I'm still happy that this could be the book that you're like, you watch the first chunk of Solo, you pause the movie, you read this book, and then you catch up with Kira.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you're both getting me excited for this book. I do really love what E.K. Johnston did with the Padme novels, the Ahsoka novel as well, which was in the news recently, of course, the Tales of the Jedi stuff. But one of the things about the Padme stuff is exactly what you're talking about, Joseph, about not just going around the corners of some movies we're already so familiar with, but going into the mind of the characters, Padme, the handmaidens, during that time. And it really just helps just add so much more context and depth to some of those movies and scenes even years later. I think she's good at that. And I kind of think you could get that and maybe some big answers. I love that Kira has been brought back in the comics. I really want to be clear about that. I even like the story they built around her, and I've loved a lot of the issues. It's missing something for me. And I think you hit on something that it is missing, Joseph, which is I kind of want those big answers, those bigger moments of Maul and all that kind of stuff. So I guess I just, like a lot of folks, want to make Solo 2 happen as well. shout out to the Resistance broadcast. But I'm excited to do this and go back to this era of her life. Or actually, again, we don't even really know. This could go several eras. I'm just excited. And as far as your theory, Jen, that you got us thinking about here, what's weird about this is the interviews, the mustaches, all that stuff is definitely something you got to toss in the bucket. But yeah, since like the early days of the modern publishing, we're talking 2015, I haven't seen like just a random book pop up too much.
Yes,
it's a lot of synergy, right? A lot of it. Season of Kenobi, High Republic gets its own kind of wonderful thing, but you know, we got that stuff going on recently, which have produced some wonderful books. The Padme ones were somewhat on their own, I would say. It wasn't like we had a Padme series coming, but hey, I'm open for that. But it was also celebrating a character that's just the legacy's been felt more and more over the years, that being Padme. So, you know, it could be Kira. There's a groundswell of support for Kira. She's back in the comics. Maybe it's just that. Maybe EK says, hey, look, I got an idea. Or maybe they approach her, hey, we got an idea. But I'm going to just get caught up in a little bit of the fun and hope that something is brewing. I'll just manifest in that. I'm putting that out into the galaxy. So hopefully it can become true.
I mean, if nothing else, if Lucasfilm isn't planning anything, you know, hey, I hope the mustache is instigation. I hope this book is instigation, because I think, I think the publishing side is sometimes responsive. Either it's the season of Kenobi, or hey, this question about Poe was brought up. Let's answer it. You know, after Rise of Skywalker. I think it's also that, you know, the publishing side, they're fans too, and maybe they're just like, yeah, we want more Kira, we're going to show there's demand. Final thing for me is I also just think it should be noted that it's just great to celebrate this character and just get more enthusiasm for her regardless. I think one of the powerful things about E.K. Johnston is that she really it doesn't pull her punches, and the publishing side often doesn't with harder topics and topics in Star Wars that blend into the real world. And the fact that Kira's story is kind of dark, right? That she's afraid of being caught up and you know, being treated as property, you know, by one of these cartels, and that she's trapped in this machine, in this story of this woman who's trapped in a machine who kind of wants, that machine wants to control her. And her response is, if I'm going to be trapped in this machine, I'm going to be in charge of it. That's some potentially both empowering and dark real world stuff. So I'm also kind of excited for that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's a Kira story. All of our theories. Will she appear at Mando 3? Will she? maybe, who knows? But we have this book, and of course, we'll give you some information when we have more details. Jen, any final thoughts on the cover? More theories, more strings attached to pieces of evidence before we move on.
Yeah, I definitely keep coming back to the question of why now? Why now? They have to have a reason for why now. It could be like you're saying, Joseph, that they're fans and they're like, we want that. Or maybe E.K. Johnston pitched it. She's like, I have this idea. But why now? Why?
With a short tie and a short sleeve buttoned up shirt, just in a basement going to pray. Why now? Why now?
It all started with this. sorry, guys. Yeah.
No, it's great. I love it. Now I'm going to have to Google the mustache look.
Look it up. I mean, classic. So Lando, Billy Dee Williams. It was a sign. If not a sign, it's a wink. Because he knows the minute he looks like that and dresses like that, the fans are going to go crazy. He knows that. So it's either like, I'm in on the joke, or we're coming. We're going to have Lando back. It's a sign.
Look, normally I'd be like, come on, it's just some facial hair. But, you know, Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan beard caused quite a stir. And we had reason to be stirred by it. So there you go. Getting on to some of the other news of the day. Visions Volume 2 is coming our way soon. As we already knew, the second volume of Star Wars Visions has long been announced, but now we know when we will be able to see it. And it is May 4th, 2023 on Star Wars Day 2023. 9 animated shorts from filmmakers from 9 studios from around the galaxy and our globe will be available for all of us to watch. All right, I'm going to run down a list. I'll make my normal A. My dumb American can't say all these names. I was going to try to extra hard to research this because, you know, our American accents keep us, keep our tongues from saying certain things. I just had this conversation with an Australian on Fortnite about our tongues aren't built to say things all the time. So bear with me while I get through this list. Sith by El Giri Studios, director Rodrigo Blas. Screecher's Reach by Cartoon Saloon. I can say that one. And director Paul Young. That is the Irish studio up there. In the Stars by Punk Robot. What a production company studio there. And director Gabriel Osorio. I Am Your Mother by Aardman Studios and director Magdalena Osinka. Journey to the Dark Head by Studio Mir and director Yingyin Park. The Spy Dancer by Studio La Cachette and director Julian Cheng. Bandits of Golak by 88 Pictures and Ishan Shukla. The Pit by D'Art, Chateau, and Lucasfilm. This is a co-production there. Directors Leandra Thomas and Justin Ridge. And Oz Song, I'll take your votes on how to say that one, by Triggerfish and directors Nadia Darius and Daniel Clark. Again, sincere apologies for my American tongue on all the pronunciations, as I even love messing up that word sometimes on purpose. Anyway, moving on. It's a joke that I say, and it's been carried too many times, and people think I say it. Anyways, that's a lot of titles. 9 wonderful stories around the globe. Of course, as we know, Volume 1 was mostly with Japanese studios and the anime style, but this one's going to be around the world. So any titles, creators, do they jump out to you here, Jen?
Oh, my gosh. So 3 in particular. I'll go through them fast. Number 1, I Am Your Mother. Very, very intriguing title to me. And I hope it involves a reimagining of Vader as a mother and Luke as her daughter. Sith mother. Oh, my mind is exploding thinking of the possibilities. Second one, Screecher's Reach, because Cartoon Salon produced Wolfwalkers. And Wolfwalkers is an animated fantasy adventure film that came out in 2020, I think. It's incredible. Highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. My daughter is obsessed with it. We've watched it countless times. So I'm excited to see their particular style, Cartoon Salon style, in the Star Wars galaxy. It has this beautiful, like, folkloric kind of quality to it. The last one, The Pit, from Leandre Thomas, who is in management at Lucasfilm. He's not a creative. He's in management at Lucasfilm, but he also happens to be an indie filmmaker. And this one gets me excited because he wrote and directed this short, which means his idea must be really, really good. And I love that Lucasfilm knows when an idea is good, they don't care what department you're coming from. They're going to try and help you create that vision. And so they've paired him with a Star Wars director, Justin Ridge, who has worked on Clone Wars, Resistance, Star Wars Rebels. It gets me excited. I mean, look at what happened with John Knoll and Rogue One story, right? Like, if they know a good story and they're going to champion it, and that is exciting.
That's well done. Well researched. Look at this. You even know what their other studios have made. I haven't had a chance to look those up there. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Joseph, what jumps out to you here?
Yeah, well, I'll start by echoing Jennifer's first choice. I Am Your Mother, I think, would be way up there on the list just by the title. You know, the sort of subversion of it, taking such a famous line, and it raises so many interesting questions of how is this going to be perceived. I hadn't even thought of it like you did, Jennifer, of a direct, like, let's tell the classic, parent-child story, but from this different perspective. A lot of people have been very excited also by the studio, Aardman, you know, famously the Wallace and Gromit studio. And I think if they hadn't listed the titles or the directors and they just listed the studios, I'd be like, yeah, give me, an hour of, claymation Chadrafan eaten space cheese. Great, right?
Right.
That's what we associate, that's what I associate with the studio. But then the title, I Am Your Mother, and then the sentence in the press release about this director, Magdalena Osinska, is currently developing the feature film Josea based on her grandmother's memories of World War II Poland. So not that anyone's a monolith, but if this director works at Aardman and is interested, larger, more dramatic, more tragic ideas than necessarily Wallace and Gromit, it's just a really interesting fusion of what exactly is this going to be? You know, is this going to be a lighthearted, fun Wallace and Gromit thing, or is this going to be something deeper and stranger, you know?
Yeah, no, that's, again, good research on studio there too. And that title alone, I Am Your Mother, just the Star Wars ramifications of that. And yes, we know it's not, I Am Your Father was not exactly the quote.
Yeah.
The direct quote. But yeah, that's that alone. That's good stuff.
Yeah. And then a couple others quickly. The Spy Dancer by the title is just the title alone. And then the studio, La Cachette, being French, this is the one that I'm going to need to, tell my wife about immediately when she gets home tonight. She's a dancer. speaks French. And the spy thing, right? I think this is part of what's exciting about this entire list is I absolutely love season one of Visions, but a lot of it was the central Jedi Sith force, the samurai heritage of Star Wars being reexamined. So I'm really interested in seeing different elements of Star Wars being explored. And the idea of spies in Star Wars is something that always gets kind of danced on. But I want to spend more quality time with like full on espionage. So something that's like the French's take on a galactic dancing spy is very thrilling to me.
Yes,
that's absolutely a good choice there. Awesome. Any other ones there?
The other two that jumped out at me in particular is the Aos song, Aos song by Triggerfish. I'm very interested in the different cultures, the South African take on Star Wars, and the fact that this one sounds like it's probably about music. I really like Tatooine Rhapsody. I know that was one of your faves of the first season, so I'm interested in the music ones. And then also, I didn't know anything about the studio cartoon saloon, but the title Screecher's Reach, that evokes much more Western day in the life Tatooine stuff and an Irish studios perspective on maybe people who are just trying to keep to themselves but have some problems with imperialism. I don't know. That might be interesting.
Yes, indeed. It's so funny you say that. Screech's Reach is one of my favorites because it sounds like part of the Red Dead Redemption 2 map I haven't read yet.
Exactly.
Well done. No, I'm right there with you on the Spy Dancer. For me, it invokes one of my favorite characters from the third series of Robotech, which was Lancer, who was a kind of resistance fighter while being a singer and a pop star and a dancer, and just kind of that to go around. and being part of the fight. Again, this could be something entirely different, but The Spy Dancer seems like a pretty direct title. Like you said, coming from the French studio, that's just, I'm thinking of, do we have Moulin Rouge? Today's one of the, I have pulled a chest muscle, and I'm sitting back in my chair like I'm Jabba the Hutt. Just I can barely move. Only my hands. That one syncs up really well for me. Like I said, I am your mother. Just makes you think Star Wars there, but I don't know, man. Something about the Bandits of Golak that just sounds so Star Wars underworldly, and I just like what's going on there. But I want to talk about the series overall with both of you here. Jen, I think during volume one, we didn't get as much chance to talk to you about it. What's your favorite thing about this series? We got 9 stories, 9 studios, nine parts of the world, and taking their influences and focusing it back on Star Wars, which often influenced so many other things. But it's also not canon, and it's inspired by, and some people either like that or don't love that. So what's your thoughts on the series overall?
I am so excited because it gives us something new. I love that it doesn't have to be canon. It can be whatever these creators want. I mean, look, the Spy Dancer could be around a Jabba's Palace dancer. Mm. You know, like just the possibilities are endless. And that is what gets me excited, because we all have these headcanons or fun ideas of what if this happened, right? Well, these creators get to bring that to life. They bring their unique styles and aesthetic. It just makes me so happy. And I think what I would love to see them do is to use this as a way to workshop or kind of test maybe a new animated show or movie. Like, why not? If something hits really, really well, it could be like a pilot, a backdoor pilot, if you will, for something. So it's longer, because sometimes I watch these things like with Star Wars Visions, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want this to end. I want to see the next episode, right? Yeah. So who knows? Maybe that's a possibility. I think that there's always that possibility. But I'm really looking forward to this series.
Yeah, I like that idea too, of just being able to bring new creators and visions and styles and perspectives and studios into the process. And it has to be is just this, and you can keep doing visions, but can someone like this get involved in a series and all that kind of stuff? It's always been the appeals. And I love this series. I love what the first one did. And just as you said earlier, really exploring the samurai roots of a lot of George's influences early on. We know that. And Filoni, just look at the Ahsoka issue at episode of Mandalorian season 2. I mean, it's all there. But I love kind of expanding the scope and seeing, because Star Wars is truly global. And this is what I'm enjoying about this second volume. Once we see it, of course, we'll know more of those influences and what they put into the stories. But Joseph, what's your favorite thing about this series as we head into volume 2?
Yeah, I think it's the idea that canon is wonderful. Canon is powerful when it can deepen the story and deepen our connection to it. But getting overly attached to it can be sort of a prison that you build for yourself. So I think it's just so nice to take a break from any sort of canon concerns, which cause us to just get down to the core ideas of Star Wars, right? When you're watching one of these shorts, there's no like, but when exactly on the timeline is this? Is Cad Bane still alive at this point? Like, there's none of that. So you're just focusing on what core idea of Star Wars is being explored. And for me, having it come from all of these different studios, right? It's a great way to celebrate that idea of the universal through the specific, of finding what is true and connects us, but learning that by also hearing about differences, right? Like, and I feel like that was present in the first season, that, you know, the real core idea of some of the shorts were real core ideas of Star Wars, but they were expressed in really different ways. They were realized in different ways. You got a little bit more of the culture of the people creating them and through that filter. And we're only going to have more of that in seeing all of these different animation studios from different parts of the world. I also just really like that it is some bite-sized Star Wars for a quick rewatch. A couple of times when I've been watching those screeners of Bad Batch, like later in the day, I'm just like, I don't have time to sit down and watch a movie. I don't want to watch a random episode in the middle of a Clone Wars arc, but I feel like watching some Star Wars. And I'd be like, oh yeah, Visions. Mm-hmm. So like in the last couple of weeks, I've rewatched The Elder in The Village Bride a couple times because they're just a great little bite-sized bit of staying in the world of Star Wars.
Staying in the world of Star Wars, indeed. Yeah, I love that there. Jen, did you have a chance to fall in love with Tatooine Rhapsody like I did, the rock band one from Volume 1?
Oh, that was a great one. So unexpected. I would have never, I mean, wildest imaginations, right? I love that. I loved the one with the, oh my gosh, and I can't remember her name. She was the bunny. But anyways.
Lo Pinocho?
Yes. Thank you. That one my daughter loved as well. And that was what was so fun is that, like you're saying, Joseph, like the fact that it can be more like a Star Wars snack, right? Mm. Sometimes I can't always get my kids to sit down with me and be like, let's watch this episode. They're like, eh. But this was like, you know, short enough. So it's like, wow, I liked that. Oh, yeah. Okay. Star Wars is cool again. Okay, great. And it makes my heart happy, right? Mm. Just a little Star Wars snack in the day.
I love a little Star Wars snack back. Orange slices, some ice, some Capri Suns, little snack bag. Yeah. Well said, both of you on the series. Excited to see what's going on with this stuff here. We'll have more information as it comes out, but this is pretty much what we got until Star Wars Day 2023, which will be post-celebration. It's weird that we're that close to celebration. We're already looking past it. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we got action figure news, a little bit of Mandalorian Season 3 news. But before we do that, we have a Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we have today?
We still have Path of Deceit by Justina Ireland and Tessa Grattan, the High Republic adventure that we will be reading eventually. If you want to be caught up with us, you can check it out in audiobook form.
You can indeed by downloading your free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, quick break. We'll be back with more news here on ForceCenter.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome back to Force Center, episode 531 of an ongoing series of our look into the Star Wars world. But only that's the number for this show. We are happy to produce four shows a week for you all, and I hope you enjoyed Databank Dive this past week. Check it out. Cloud Cars is what we celebrated. I hope you're all enjoying that series. Let's get to some news. Actually, the transition I was trying to make there is we did look on Databank Dive at Cloud Cars, and we had asked, hey, who were the kids who got Cloud Cars for Christmas? And we had some people actually respond with photos from Christmas mornings in 1980s. We actually had some people playing with the Cloud Cars. Joey Corbett, one of our listeners, tweeted a Christmas 1980 picture with a bunch of classic Kenner boxes and the Cloud Car there. So Toys, figures, all those things are very important. And the Hasbro Pulse folks, well, it's Hasbro Pulse Mania because new figs are coming our way. Lots of collecting excitement this week. Maybe it's because I was just clued in. More excitement than I remember in recent years, but maybe that's just my opinion perspective on it. They made several announcements about new figures and collectibles. I'll say this. We used to try to run through all the list. They're out there. You can find them. There's so many of them that I always would end up missing. And then Joseph would be like, well, what about this one? And Jenny, so I'm kicking it to you all there. What's your excitement level these days? And any items jump out to you?
Jennifer, please. I'm going to have to set a timer to contain myself. Oh, so wow. I want to hear your thoughts first.
I'm on the opposite end. Well, no, I think that they look great. The figures look great. We'll dive into the specific ones that jump out me in a minute, but I can't collect any more stuff. I just can't do it. I'm constantly trying to declutter my kids' toys. I'm not getting rid of my toys. So it's just, things are piling up. But here's what I'll say. So that being said, I came across a Princess Nisa bank, little piggy bank, and I almost got it. And that's when I realized, oh, no, I'm still buying Star Wars stuff. I'm still collecting, but I really like to collect. When the minute you said Cloud Card, I went, I've got to find that on eBay. Because there's something about reclaiming that nostalgia, like owning that piece of my Star Wars history that is really appealing and feels really good. And it's almost like I'm rescuing a toy, right? From being discarded. Repurpose, recycle, reuse, right? I'm like, ooh, we can display that in our home. It feels like, unless my kids are going to play with it, I just can't justify buying another action figure, even though they look so cool. I can't do it.
Do your daughters have any? I know that you have like Build-A-Bears and you have like some different dolls, right? Mm-hmm. What is for you as a parent of daughters at this point? What is the dividing line between doll and action figure? Is that just marketing? Does it mean anything?
Yeah, it's more just about the type of play. I mean, part of the reason I had to actually put away some of my action figures, when they're there, they incorporate it into their imaginary play. Those nice. Action figures play with Barbies and LOL dolls. There's no discrimination. You know what I mean? They just go along for the ride. Maybe they're the shopkeeper. What, you know, Po is usually on a mission to rescue someone. So it's all equal opportunity. But at the same time, I had this really cool Jawa that got destroyed. It was a Black Series Jawa from the Mandalorian. And it just got, the legs got torn off. My dog got a hold of it. And I just, I got so sad. And then my daughter the other day, she starts putting dirt in the chicken walker. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. My other daughter was playing with it. She put a tiny Elsa in it. I'm like, that's cute. The next thing I know, she's throwing it up in the air. And I'm like, oh, that is a vintage. Like, that was your dad's when he was a kid. And she's like, oh. So anyways, all that being said.
Well, it's got
not your father's chicken walker.
Exactly. I thought that, I said, that's your father's toy. And I just thought, oh my gosh, the neighbors are going to think I'm nuts. Oh, they already think I'm nuts. Walking around in Ewok costumes.
That's so great. This was your father's chicken walker.
That's wonderful. Well, well said in so many ways there, Jen. Love that. Well, I'll jump in here real quick because, Joseph, I do want to hear your reaction to it. You are a resident figure collector these days still. I'm in, as I've discussed before, in the boat Jen is, where I have to really be careful about what I get and make sure it counts, so to speak, and can fit on the shelf. But I got to tell you, I'm even scrolling through on StarWars.com on their list, and I'm also looking at another website for some of the announcements, and there's some things I want on that too. But the premium electric biker scout helmet, my longstanding love affair with the biker scouts, the scout troopers, like, how could I not own this one? This seems... I have a 7 5/8 head, so I don't think I'm fitting in this, but I'm going to try. Like, I had the real life hound helm at one of my old jobs from Game of Thrones. And I would just put that on in the office. Everyone thought I would put anything in everything. People thought I was a nutball at a company built on nutballs. So this is tempting for me to begin there. I mean, but the Revenge of the Jedi Vader, the Han Solo, the Rebel Commander. Maybe it's because we just did a data big dive on Nick Sant, Joseph, but the Rebel Commando figure with the changeable face to put on Nick Sant in his beard. How could I not own that? How could he not own a little Nick Sant beard?
Yeah, no, that one's powerful on multiple levels.
Yes, it is. And then the Vader. The Death Star 2 Vintage Collection Darth Vader. This, of course, the mask comes off. You got the Sebastian Shaw Hayden face there, you know. Right. I love that. I've said before, I over the years, even when I didn't have a Star Wars podcast and Star Wars was in the rearview mirror, I was pulling Vaders if I saw them on the aisles. Like, I putting those in the carts. Got some milk, got a Vader. I have a lot of Vader, especially 3 3/4 over the years. And this one just, how could I not? It just looks so good. It looks so good. And they get you. And I don't mean that cynically, but I also kind of do. They get you with the packaging because the Han Solo Return of the Jedi, even the Weequay, man, that looks just that. That's my childhood in a package. And it's right. Hard not to. It's just why we love this stuff. And I'm just looking at, this is some of the announced stuff. And then some of the things that we just have photos of. And it's almost like the empty box campaign all over again. The Cad Banes and some of the ones I know you probably want to discuss, Joseph, there. This was just a really good batch, which also speaks to the Book of Boba Fett, bringing in a lot of action figure ready characters, even stuff from Mando. They got one of the stormtrooper / clone trooper, you know, early, forms of that from Andor. That got me excited. Stuff from Kenobi. It's just been a fun time for Star Wars, which makes sense that we'd have some cool action figures on the way. So that's the end of my speech, Joseph. But I do want to know, what's your excitement level? What are you looking for in these items?
Oh, my excitement level is only contained even a tiny bit by the physical space in both my home and my storage space. I have been on just a real action figure kick in some of the kind of remodeling that Sarah and I have done of our home. I've really embraced this idea that action figures can be many things, and they are many things to many people. So I'm not telling anybody else what action figures should be to you. But for me, they are little pieces of art, and it is the figure themselves, but it is the card. You know, you can look at it as, and like, eh, they remade the exact same sculpt, and then they put it on a different card. And you can look at it as, yep, they're getting you to buy the same figure twice. That's totally legitimate. But also for me, the card is a part of the art. The fact that that Han Solo says, you know, the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi on the card with that different image, that's a part of what I'm celebrating. So in our remodel, I've managed to set up like multiple spaces that are, I'm going to rotate what figure is there. So I can I don't have an action figure collecting problem. I have an art collection and I rotate the display.
That's a good way to say it.
Beautiful way to look at it.
Yeah, there is still the possibility of the actual absolute stereotype of how did he die? Well, a bunch of plastic fell on him. That's who found him. But I've just been enjoying that. I've also just been finding more ways to share my love of action figures by doing things like our Figure Fights show, the not unboxing videos I've been doing on TikTok and all that. So it makes me more excited to connect with other collectors and make it a social thing as well. So that's my general kind of where I'm at with it. Yeah. And Ken, I think you're right. I think this announcement was just well done. It had a variety of types of figures from a variety of media, and I think that helped to get that excitement level. I think if people are curious, for me, the best roundup is on galacticfigures.com, formerly Jedi Business. It's a site we reference often because I think they do a great job. So, there's vintage collection announcements, Black Series announcements, and then pipeline announcements, which is basically, we're going to make these eventually, but we don't even have pictures yet. And I think also in this announcement, in particular for the pipeline stuff, there was some dream come true. This is what fans want. And for me in that category, the Jedi Luke from Book of Boba Fett in particular. Like, it was amazing to see Luke in Mandalorian season 2, but it's like, yeah, he's wearing his stuff that he wears.
Yeah.
So I am excited about it as an action figure because of the card, but in Book of Boba Fett, he's got a different black shirt. He's got that nice, like, little robe vibe. It's comfy, cozy, calf in the morning and train Grogu while you're dancing around in the trees using the Force. I'm so excited for that, Luke. Vintage collection and Black Series in the pipeline, but vintage collected in particular. They announced a 2-pack from the Kenobi show in the pipeline of Obi-Wan and battle-damaged Vader from their final fight. So many people were moved by seeing Hayden's face under the mask, and now we're going to get it in plastic form. Beautiful. They announced the N1 Starfighter, Mando's N1 Starfighter. All sorts of dream come true stuff. Extremely excited for that. And then with the pictures, the ones you were talking about, the Death Star 2 Vader is great. The Piet is great.
Yeah.
In particular, that's one where the card is a huge part of it. Because, hey, I'd pick up Piet from Empire Strikes Back. There's a bunch of great ones. But this image of him with the Death Star in the background and him kind of turning to bark an order at someone in the data pits. Beautiful. Beautiful.
That figure needs an Arvel Krynid. To be paired with it.
It absolutely does. Yeah, you can create the picture of Piet's imminent demise. Yeah. Yeah, and then the Black Series has that Rebel Trooper with the switchable face where you can put Nick Sant's bearded face on the younger guy. But it also just makes it seem like, hey, do you want to make this guy age suddenly? You can do it.
This is called 5 years time for most men in their 40s.
Exactly. This is right around the corner. You're holding up well in your late 30s. Now look at this. Final thought for me is the retro collection continues to go strong, and they announced an entire line of retro collection focusing specifically on Book of Boba Fett. And this is what you were saying, Ken. It's a great celebration of the show Book of Boba Fett, and it's got some real winners in there. That Jedi Luke again, Cad Bane, Nomad Boba Fett, Chris Anton, The Black Series Chrysanthemum was criticized for being a little bit too thin. Retro figures are supposed to be thin. So Chrysanthemum will be a very interesting selection there. So, all right, I'm stopping myself.
No, that is that's a great look at it there. Yeah, the pipelines. I mean, even the N1 Starfighter for Mando, like that's something I'm going to want to at least look at. At least consider adding it to my art collection there. Anything not announced we still want and need soon with a capital N, need. Jen, is there something that's missing here that you must have?
Oh, I'm going to go in a totally different direction. I realize that now. You know, Disney has this ILY. I think it's I love you forever line of dolls. They're 18 inches. So they're kind of like, for those of you who might know, like an American Girl doll or an Our Generation doll, a Target. And they're inspired by the Disney princesses, Ariel, Jasmine, Mulan. I would love to see Disney Lucasfilm come out with a Star Wars version of that. So they kind of like they modernize the outfits. They make them look more trendy, more cool, right? So they take the basic idea. So I'd love to see a Sabine. I'd love to see a Rey, a Leia, Ahsoka, because I feel like there are a lot of female characters in Star Wars. I'd like to see them in doll form. Besides, when we have the Forces of Destiny figures, and the Barbie ones are so insanely expensive. I mean, you can't let your kids play with those. But there are, you know, there are fans that would like dolls, and it could also bring in a new type of fan. So I know that this is not a Hasbro thing, obviously, unless Hasbro Pulse wants to bring that to their HasLab. I can only imagine the feedback that they would get. But yeah, that's my on my wish list.
I'm looking at these. They're really cool. It really does seem like the idea of like, let's take the colors and the style and the personality of these princesses, but make them look a little bit more every day, which would be fascinating to do with like Sabine.
Right? Mm-hmm. How cool would that be? I think it'd be really, really fun. And it would make Star Wars accessible to young fans who are maybe not as, you know, clued into it. But it certainly would be eye-catching on the Target toy aisle.
Yeah. No, that's a great pull. I love that. I love that one there. That's a great idea. Expanding the toy audience there. That's a good idea. Joseph, for you, anything you want out there that hasn't been announced yet? I'm scrolling because there's one I want to choose, and I'm like, have they already done one or not? So I'll ask you all when I propose it. But Joseph, anything for you?
Yeah, I think there's a couple in particular from the Mandoverse and from Rise of Skywalker. From the Mandoverse, man, do I want that astromech drummer. You know, hey, make a band. That's fine. Throw in another Max Rebo and get the whole limb debate going again on Max Rebo. I don't care. Whatever to get an astromech drummer. I really would love a Garza Fwip. I would love a multi-pack of Garza Fwip in all of her different outfits would be great. I would love Pelimoto. I really think that she is such a major character to the Mandoverse. It would be great to get her in figure form. And I love the figures. They lean sometimes towards the troops because you can replicate the sculpt. They lean toward, you know, the badasses. But I still want everybody represented. And I really agree with Jennifer. They have the HasLab functionality. They have a built-in Kickstarter fundraiser. I wish that they would experiment with kind of smaller run. Do you want, you know, this Mandoverse set or this Book of Boba Fett set of these three or four figures that we're not going to release unless we know the support is there, and let us find out if the support is there. I would love that. Same thing then with Rise of Skywalker. It is just sort of jaw dropping to me at this point that we're this many years out from Rise of Skywalker and we have this few characters from the conclusion of the Skywalker saga. And one of the things that I think has helped fans over the years warm to things that they maybe didn't like as much is by having them in their hands, by collecting them. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of people who are like, I'm not sure about the prequels, but that design is cool, so I'll get a few mauls. Oh, and pretty soon you're drowning in CO bibbles and you're giving Phantom Menace another chance. And Rise of Skywalker, I think, needs that treatment. And then even on top of that, for the profile of figures that normally get made, a little bit more of the original trilogy characters, the main characters, the badasses, it's bonkers, the figures that haven't been made. There's not a vintage Ben Solo. There's not a vintage, restored Emperor or Emperor hanging from the claw arm. There isn't Luke and Leia in the Jedi training flashback. There isn't Finn and Poe in their main outfits. There isn't Claude. I could go on. There's so much from Rise of Skywalker, which I think would do well.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was scrolling for two figures and you confirmed what I had thought. There's no Pelimoto and there's no Garza Flip yet. The Garza one I get because we're just starting to see Book of Boba Fett figures, but I really agree with your thoughts behind why we should have these figures, Joseph, or why it would be a good thing. I am a little surprised that there isn't official like Pelimoto stuff. There's just great customs I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. Pelimoto. Mm-hmm. The Tusken Warrior was announced as a pipeline figure a while back. Otherwise, she would be the top of my list as well.
Mm. Mm. Great. Great list. Yeah, those are some ones I was interested in seeing. And then this is just one of those news stories that's caused me to go live on air Googling. I was like, oh, that biker set's great. I'd love like an official Royal Guard one. And you can get one from a company that has the license of a company called Denuo Novo. And I think we've seen some of the stuff before. They have official licensed stuff. And there's a bunch of helmets there and a Han Solo. This is the company that has the Han Solo Force Awakens leather jacket. And So I guess maybe I'd like still the Hasbro Pulse version of the Emperor's Royal Guard helmet.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, slide that off. Yeah.
Take that.
And just sit there at my computer desk typing. Not being able to move my neck, which I can't move my neck today anyway. So it's a perfect time to put on the Royal Guards. All right. Well, there you go. That's our excitement for the figures. It's just something about this round of announcements. I don't know. There's just I've heard more discussion about it than I have in recent years. But again, that might just be my experience. But I'm with you both on there. Final news story of the day. There was a very cool Mandalorian season 3 poster reveal that's out there. So there's some little tidbits coming out on Mandalorian season 3 as we get ready for it. There was also a YouTube the phenomenon. I think it was. I went to click on it, and there was something wrong with the sound. And not my computer, but like on the Disney YouTube or Lucasfilm YouTube. It was really weird. But it looks good. That's out there. But this bit of news I want to talk about: Joseph Shirley is scoring The Mandalorian season 3. Film Music Reporter saying that Joseph Shirley is currently scoring the third season of The Mandalorian, taking over the primary scoring duties from Ludwig Göransson. Of course. Made all the wonderful music season 1 and 2. Shirley's long work with Göransson and the arrangement will probably be in the same vein as the Book of Boba Fett, where Göransson was credited with composing the themes and Shirley the score. Thoughts? Any worries? Are we happy? What do we feel about this, Jen?
At first, I was a little worried. I thought, why isn't he working on this show? But then I looked at his IMDb, and he's working on Christopher Nolan's film, Oppenheimer. Last year, he did Grogu and the Dust Bunnies, Wakanda Forever, Turning Red. So he's still in the Disney family. He's booked. And I think it just comes down to scheduling. It sounds like he already has a great working relationship with Joseph Shirley. So it just makes sense, right? It's probably just a continuation of what has happened in the past. But now Joseph Shirley is getting that credit for it. So I just think it's a scheduling thing. That's what I'm trying to tell myself, because I really like what Ludwig Göransson and I guess Joseph Shirley have done in the past.
Yeah, well, Göransson's, was already pretty successful, as we know, by the time he hit The Mandalorian. But there's something to be said about that, his work in The Black Panther, I think, as well, that just kind of elevated him to even a higher level. And I'm sure that calendar is very full. And he and Shirley have had a longstanding working relationship. And so it just makes some sort of sense. But I know there's this weird feeling, but I even had it with the Book of Boba Fett, where you're like, oh, you just kind of have this perception that, well, then Ludwig's not involved. No, he is involved. But I know what you mean, Jen. Sometimes it can hit you in a weird way. But I'm excited for it. I really did love the work in Book of Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. I did love what they pulled together for that. So it just makes no sense. And I just don't think we're going to have any skipping of the beats at all. And I'm kind of happy that, we're in a situation where Ludwig doesn't have to say, hey, I'm out. And now if someone completely new is coming in, This is someone who's kind of part of the musical family. So it's a smooth transition, I think, and good for him. Good for Joseph Shirley. But from one Joseph to another, Joseph Scrimshaw.
Yeah, it is weird to hear my first name followed by, you know, the word Shirley. They Joseph Shirley is working on this. Like, no, I'm not. Thank you that you surely think I am. But the old Shirley joke. Yeah. No, I'm thrilled by this. I love Ludwig Göransson, but I just don't hear anything bad in this. That Ludwig Göransson is massively busy with massive projects. My wife and I just watched Wakanda Forever this weekend. Music's phenomenal. He's doing great.
Yeah.
And I love the music of Book of Boba Fett. There was no like, oh, this is a step down for me in any way, shape, or form. So to me, this news is, hey, this gives a chance for another composer to fully shine. And in a couple of years, we'll be getting the news of, oh, no, Joseph Shirley's not doing this one, you know?
Yeah. Indeed, indeed. I said up top in the Star Wars Life Adventure section, but I want to ask you now, both of you, how do those Mandalorian themes and all those hot tunes from that show hit us now? 2019 seems like so long ago, and yesterday, Jen, the music was brand new. It was something, oh my gosh, what are they doing with this stuff here? And now it just seems to be part of the wonderful landscape. But how does it hit you?
I mean, I always loved the music. I know some people were on the fence about it, but it's amazing how that Mandalorian theme already is iconic. It has some nostalgia to it because to me, it really represents the streaming era of Star Wars. You can play that theme and even like non-hardcore fans are going to recognize that it's Star Wars, right? Now, obviously not as much as the main theme, but it's amazing. I also associate it with Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni's friendship, collaboration, and just it's really neat. It's amazing how so quickly it can already give me these nostalgic vibes.
Yeah, the heady days of 2019 there.
Right.
The music hits, Joseph, and we get excited for Mando.
It does. I agree. Iconic is the right word, and I really agree with what Jennifer is saying. Is it's already iconic and modern and evolving, but also of that time, of that introduction to this character, introduction to streaming. Also, you know, for what it's worth, the world's kind of been through a lot since 2019. Yeah. And it's this kind of frozen moment. And, you know, I think Mando season 2 was, you know, a moment of joy during a very difficult time globally. So I think there is some of that for me baked into the music. I think it's also that I love all the music, but that main theme, right? There are different kinds of main themes that evoke different things. You know, the Force theme or Leia's theme or Yoda's theme go to this, you know, very deep interior intuitive place for me emotionally, right? Mm. But then you have music that's kind of needle drop, walk in, entrance, oh, bleep, this just got real. Uh-oh, here comes so-and-so. Mm-hmm. This has got wrestler entering the arena. This has got James Bond theme of like, oh, he stole a car. He's going to bleep up, you know? Right. Let's go. That is, to me, the power of the Mandalorian theme. It is about who he is. It does start off kind of like quiet, but it builds so much, and it's just got that energy of like, oh no, you crossed the Mandalorian. Here we go. And I think that's, to me, a little bit of the power of it. It gets you excited for what's going to happen next. Yeah. And I'm really excited to see what happens with that theme as the character finds himself in larger and larger conflicts. Is that theme going to, you know, become bigger and explode into a kind of galactic scale the same way he is?
I love what you're saying and describing this. It's such a versatile theme because it does convey movement to me in a way, action, moving the story forward. But often Mando is just standing still when the music hits. You know, the music picks you up and takes you to where the story's going. And I've loved that. And like I said earlier, doing the Mando rewatch. I mean, again, there's never been a part of me that hasn't loved the series. There's some things along the way that I was getting used to and that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, maybe I'm drawn to some of the other series sometimes more in my heart. And then I sat there and watched that first episode. And when he shows up and the doors open and the little tiny whistle hits God, man, it just
right?
pulls me back in, and I'm so excited. And Even hearing some, you know, like Quill is training him on the blurg, some of the music scores and the themes hit. Man, it's just you're right there, and you're excited for what's coming next, because the music is literally picking you up and tossing you into the next room for the story, and it's so great, so great.
It really
well
is.
Said.
Yeah.
Can't wait. We're almost there. Wow, around the corner, March 1st, and then next, you know, we'll be at Celebration and maybe watching all together. Hey, before we leave, and as we say, there's always other bits of news out there. Nice Mando poster, some more stuff on the way. We'll dive into that as we get closer to the show. But we like looking at This Week in Star Wars History, looking ahead to Star Wars Past. And we've been doing this segment, I think, for about a year now. I know, because I got really excited to celebrate John Williams' birthday. And I realized, well, we did do that last year, actually. We're trying to cross over here. Not that we can't touch upon these things. So we do want to say happy birthday to John Williams. His birthday will be on the 8th this year. So there you go. Happy birthday to the maestro. Still going strong. Has more plans for the Hollywood Bowl and other concerts this year. He's kind of rescinded that retirement thing, which I'm happy about that. We haven't really talked about that he's kind of like, second thought, maybe I'm not done. Jen, it's got to make us happy, right? A Star Wars nerd.
I love that. I love that he's not done. He's got more of wonderful themes to give us.
Yeah.
He made that joke at the Hollywood Bowl concert last fall for his 90th birthday.
Mm.
Walked out and was like, you know, given the reception, I'm not going to retire. Everyone's like, yeah.
Love that. So happy birthday, Johnny. Johnny Williams, TV score composer for the 50s. But another date we want to highlight, February 10th, 2012. The Phantom Menace 3D hit theaters and made $102.7 million at the box office, thus pushing the movie's international, worldwide, galaxy-wide box office take over the $1 billion mark. So going back in time, before Force Center, only a few years before Force Center, did we take in this viewing of Episode 1, Joseph? I don't think we've really discussed this ourselves here.
Yeah, no, I almost did, and I really wish I had. It was such a weird time for Star Wars and for the prequels. But here's my weird thing with it. For a couple of years, I performed on that cruise, Jonathan Coulton's Joko cruise, which, you know, particularly when I was starting out, was, you know, a collection of a few hundred music and comedy genre nerd fans, and it was in the Caribbean. And we had one of our days on, I believe it was Grand Cayman Island, and they were showing Phantom Menace in 3D. And at that time, it was still a kind of like everybody, quote unquote, agreed that the prequels weren't great. You know, there were some jokes at their expense. And I was like, I said to Sarah, like, maybe we should just go see it, because it would be a fun conversation. People would be utterly shocked if I told them, what did you do on this beautiful island? I saw Phantom Menace in 3D. So I was like, I really want to consider it. And Sarah was down for it. And then there was some kind of accident. So there's police tape in front of the theater. So a strong memory of almost seeing it, but not is my reaction to this one.
Wow. Almost, but there. I'm with you. I wish I would have seen it. It was a different time. I was definitely not the prequel-loving fan that I am now. I was the secret, I'll watch it when no one's looking kind of fan over this, and slowly making my way to appreciating this era a lot more. But yeah, I missed it, and I really wish I did. Jen, you're our only hope. Did you see it in the theaters?
I did not. And I think I even remember asking people if it was worth it, and they were like, nah. So no, I've never really been a fan of 3D. I must put that disclaimer out there, although I did like Captain EO, but for the most part I just don't think 3D, well, no, Avatar I had two I have not seen. I hear it's amazing, right? But generally it just doesn't work for me.
I'm with you. I will stand with you on that. Said not. I have no problem with the technology and things are getting better. I'm just one of the ones that get sick on any rides that has it. I swear they shut down some of the Harry Potter stuff at Universal Studio because I nearly threw up on that ride. So I'm sure they looked at me and said, all right, that's enough. Knapsack's down. We got to shut this down. So I'm with you on that there. And I think that's part of why I didn't take it in there. But yeah. But one of the things, you know, again, the time, not just in our lives as fans, but where we were, this is the beginning of a big era of digital media explosion, even though digital media, YouTube, and had existed for years, but we're starting to get into shows and a lot of things. This release is directly responsible for the launching of the Honest Trailers series for better or worse. And I think a lot of times worse, even though some wonderful people I know over the years have written the show. I co-wrote an episode. I love it. I love what they do. But like, it helped usher in an era of, I think, a lot of bad faith. Hey, we're just having jokes, tearing apart these things while not understanding them kind of content. And so I think around that time, I don't want to go down the prequel route again. You know, it's like, we've already done this. And 3D makes me sick anyway. So I just kind of skipped over it on that alone, I think, if I recall my mindset at that time. So, but I will say this, the release in 2012, which had to do probably with the tech and everything, 13 so years after the release of the first $199, I think it was ahead of its time for a couple of things. Maybe the technology, maybe you could do more with 3D now, but also the love of Phantom Menace. I think 2012, we didn't realize, hey, there's an entire generation of fans ready to defend this. There's an entire generation of fans who consider this their Star Wars, as well as the other stuff, but this is theirs. And so I'm almost like, should we do this again? Should we release it again? Because I think it would do well because there's an entire generation and fans like us ready and willing and wanting to embrace it even more, you know?
Yeah. No, I think it was like, it makes sense for Lucas being interested in technology for that was one of the many cycles of 3D suddenly having a bump. Obviously, a lot of those prequel fans did go because it made over $100 million,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I really do wish that it had continued because I think it might have spurred a little bit more positive discussion about the prequels, especially yes. by the time it got to Revenge of the Sith and then such excitement of seeing the original trilogy. And yeah, I wish I had been a part of it. I wish it had continued. I'm with you both that I'm not a huge fan of 3D. I don't need it. But I would like to see poor Rats Tyrell's death in 3D.
In researching this quick little blurb here on the show, I found an article from 2012, Wired, and the reviewer went and was kind of like, had that question, Jen, that you seem to be asking people, like, should I? And the answer was kind of, not really. However, the article wasn't as snarky as you would think, especially for the time. And actually kind of said, the movie's not as bad as you remember. And I thought in 2012, that was a giant leap forward and maybe helped led to where we are now. And it's become, for what it's worth, it's become one of my favorite Star Wars films to put on in the background and just sit down and enjoy, because I absolutely love the Star Wars of it all. I think we all do. All right. That is our look ahead to Star Wars past February 10th, 2012, The Phantom Menace in 3D. We're almost out of here, but before we go, we're going to let you know where you can find us. We are on Twitter at Force Center Pod, Hive Social at Force Center. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're on Instagram, where you can also see some of our reels over there, but you also see those as shorts on YouTube as well, because as we said up top, we're really having a lot of fun over on YouTube. We want you to, if you will, and help us get some large numbers, break the algorithm, and reach new fans. So if you can head over to YouTube, subscribe, watch the figure fights, share it if you're willing to. Be greatly appreciated here. Podcasts available on a lot of spots, including Acast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Just search or find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly. You can also follow me, at Ken Knapsack, or go to my website, kennapsack.com. Before we hand it over to you, a lot of times we like to highlight causes, websites where you can help folks. We do want to acknowledge there's been this, a series of very large, devastating earthquakes in Turkey. So we will maybe in the coming weeks put some direct links or talk about some places where you can support. I do want to say, encourage you to research where you are going to donate, what are agencies. That can sometimes be a little bit of a sticky proposition, I understand. But we want to highlight this disaster that's happening right now. Look for places to help. Star Wars is a force for change. It's a force for empathy, compassion, and helping everyone. So that's out there as well. Jen, where can they find and follow you?
Yeah, well said. You can find me on TikTok at JenniferLanda1138, where I've been posting a lot more lately, some reviews, Star Wars home stuff, silly memes, my YouTube and Instagram, where I share my hot takes at Jennifer Landa, and Twitter, where I just, retweet people. That's basically what I do.
It's about right.
Yeah.
Love that. That's where you find Joseph. Where can they find you? You got a lot of cool things coming, even outside of Star Wars. Where can they find it?
Yeah, you can find me on basically all of the social media by searching at Joseph Scrimshaw. But yeah, I really want to highlight the YouTube channel for myself. You can also find that on YouTube by searching Joseph Scrimshaw, that new short film, darkly comic cosmic horror short called Unboxing the Cosmos. I really want to keep making more short films like this. I really want to grow my YouTube presence. So having more views and likes and comments and interactions, it would be really great. Also, if you go watch Unboxing the Cosmos, you will see that it is kind of about our online lives, and there's great irony in me asking you to like and subscribe this particular video. So go check that out while you're checking out Fake Your Fights.
Yes. I love that. As Alanis would sing, it's ironic. All right. That is it for this week, my friends. We'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at Aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.